This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, and you are listening to Season 5 of the Floor Rejects podcast, The Isle of Artemisia. Welcome back to the Floor Rejects podcast. This is your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, here with another chapter of The Isle of Artemisia. If you missed last week or you're new here, every week I read a chapter of a story I'm working on to you. Last week we covered a chapter in which Barret and Anaxos kind of concluded their initial frolic, their initial romp, their initial sexual encounter, came back to the beach and went on a walk, encountered the others, and then realized that the others' camp was probably empty because they had all gone into the sea, and then had another idea. Barret had another idea and ran to the opposite side of the beach in hopes of finding a way home. And that's where we kind of left off with them. So let's get into this week's chapter of The Isle of Artemisia. Chapter 22, The Cost of Freedom. There on the beach were the wrecks and remnants of what seemed to be hundreds of boats. Some were large, larger than the boat Barret had been on, but some were small, like dinghies sticking up from the sand. There were old, sagging life vests scattered over the beach, ranging from what looked to be almost brand new to sun-bleached plastic husks that had been there for a long time. Barret takes it all in, the sight of this much carnage and horror, and almost misses it. The boat, the one Elliot had taken, was out in the water, floating, waiting for him to take it home. Barret doesn't even stop to think, just runs into the surf, completely lost in the thought of finally returning home after being away for far too long. "Barret, wait!" Anaxos calls, and Barret can hear him splashing behind him, rushing to keep up. Barret doesn't wait. He doesn't even pause. He just paddles as fast and hard as he can, pushing his body closer and closer to the boat. He presses hard against the water, fighting the current that wanted to sweep him back to shore, and aimed for the vessel. There were no lights on, and it appeared barren. He swims even harder, knowing that Anaxos could keep up. He swims until his arms burn, and just when he thought to raise his head and look out for the boat, his hand slaps cold, wet fiberglass. He looks up, and the boat looms over him, cooling him as it floats in the shadows. Barret dog paddles to the ladder, which he has to crawl up the side of the boat to reach, and scrambles on board. He smiles, and soon enough Anaxos comes up behind him, pulling his lithe, shining body up onto Barret, who giggles. "We don't have time for this," Barret says, squirming out from under Anaxos, who looks up at him, feigning pain at the rejection. Barret smiles and kisses him quickly before running up to the front of the boat. He finds the anchor, dropped over the side with a winch attached. He looks back to Anaxos, who is quick behind him. With ease, the taller man comes up and engages the winch, winding it back up, grunting and heaving as he does. Barret takes a moment to enjoy the show, and then turns, looking for the trolling motor. As he rushes back to the back of the ship, he finds the motor and also finds that mercifully it appeared to have a power button, not a pull cord like Nick's. He presses the button and the motor turns on, purring quietly and immediately churning water. The boat lurches, and Anaxos yells out that the anchor wasn't up yet. Barret couldn't wait. He grabs the tiller, steering the boat out and away towards the aisle, and Anaxos comes rushing to the back. "What is that?" he asks, pointing at the motor as it putters quietly, the rudder vibrating the tiller in Barret's hand as he steers. "It's an engine," Barret says, knowing this was the simplest thing in the world, but Anaxos stares at him in confusion. It uses electricity to move the boat," Barret explains, and Anaxos nods, still obviously confused. Barret waves him off, knowing that explaining it to a 180-ish-year-old man was futile. "It's going to get us out of here," Barret exclaims as the boat rounds the edge of the aisle and the hut comes into view in the distance. Just as he makes out the shape of his friend sitting on the beach, the boat jerks, stuttering to a crawl. "What the hell?" Barret mutters. He can hear the engine working, but the water around the propeller has started to still, as if the engine had stalled. He leans down, looking into the water, and the boat rocks then, hard to the left. Barret falls to his elbows and cries out. Anaxos helps Barrett up onto his hands and knees, and Barrett looks down into the water again, trying to figure out what was wrong, when suddenly, to his horror, a face appears in the water. Elliot stares up at him, his face just under the surface, his eyes glowing. He smiles eerily, little bubbles trailing from his mouth. "Shit! They found us! Hoist the sails!" Barrett screeches, and Anaxos rushes up, pulling at the rigging to get the sails up, but as Anaxos does this, suddenly hands are creeping up the side of the boat towards the ladder. Barrett swats and punches at them, trying desperately to get them to let go. His hands come back up bloody, but suddenly Elliot and three other men are standing on the boat over him. The men gather him up, restraining his arms behind his back as they march him to the front of the boat where Anaxos is pulling at ropes to get the sails set. "Let him go," Anaxos growls. Elliot laughs. "Moved on so soon, love?" Elliot asks, and Anaxos leaps at him with a hard punch. Anaxos hits the deck in surprise. He looks up at Elliot in shock. "Let's not be crass. Not in front of Barrett here." Elliot tisks, drawing closer to Barrett, tracing a finger across his straining neck. Barrett lunges at him, but the other men keep a firm hold on his body. "Now, let's get down to it. We want the plant back, Anaxos. Give it to us," Elliot commands. Anaxos spits at his feet, and Elliot laughs. "Now, now, you wouldn't want your little companion to take a swim with our friends, would you?" Elliot's accent makes him sound all the more sinister. Barrett shivers despite the hot air swirling around him. "No," Barrett shouts, and one of the men holding him in place puts a hand over his mouth. His skin tastes salty like the sea. "Don't listen to him, Anaxos. If we take him, he's gone forever. And without the plant, well, I mean," Elliot says, and Anaxos takes a step towards Barrett. The men jerk him back towards the railing of the boat. "I won't tell you," Anaxos says in a low voice. Elliot hums. He puts a hand up and flips it towards Barrett, who's hoisted up and over the railing, his legs now dangling in the air. He doesn't dare move, knowing that in a second he could be overboard and drowned by the men who were much stronger than him and could breathe underwater because of the Artemisia. "How about now?" Elliot asks again. Anaxos shakes his head, looking guiltily at Barrett, who was scared beyond any other emotion. He's dropped lower, now dangling by his armpits, with one of the three men already climbing over the railing to follow him into the water. "Fine," Elliot says, and snaps his fingers. Barrett goes tumbling back into the cool water, and the men come splashing in right beside him. They begin dunking him underneath the water, making his body clench and his breath and his lungs burn as they relementlessly push him up and under, holding him there until he struggled against them. "Anaxos," Barrett calls out. Anaxos rushes to the edge of the boat where Elliot joins him. He attempts to climb the railing, but Elliot puts a hand on his back and he stops. "This could be over. They could go home. Just tell us where the plant is," Elliot says. Anaxos looks at him. "You would let them leave?" he asks. Elliot nods. "You have my word. I promise," Elliot says quietly. The men stop dunking Barrett, who gasps as he comes up for air, unsure of what's going on above him. Anaxos nods his head, looking at Barrett. "I'm sorry," he mouths, his eyes flashing green. Then, with a flourish, he leaps over the side of the boat and disappears beneath the surface of the water. The men around Barrett then silently slink under as well, disappearing and leaving him floating alone. He cautiously begins to paddle back to the ladder and pull himself up from the water. Elliot comes to him, helping him up the ladder, looking at him sadly. "It wasn't always like this, you know," Elliot says, as Barrett rips his arm away from the man's grasp. "Where is he going?" Barrett asks, looking out into the water. "He's going back to us. He's going to give us what we want in exchange for your freedom," Elliot says, and Barrett scoffs. "Yeah, like you promised before," he spits, and Elliot smiles. "No, not like before. You're free to go. You can have the boat," Elliot tells Barrett, stepping over the railing. "Wait," Barrett yelps, and Elliot pauses, one leg over the railing already. "When will you let him go?" Barrett asks, hoping that he can manage to get Anaxos off the island away from this man. Elliot smiles sinisterly, already on to what Barrett is planning. "We aren't," Elliot says, and slips from the boat. and Barrett rushes to the railing, looking over. The man is already gone. Barrett stands alone now on the boat, completely lost, unsure of what he should do. He knew he had to pick. Anaxos or his friends. Okay, what do I like about this chapter? Well, I like that something happens in this chapter. Last week was a little bit rough for me. I'll admit, it was a little tough. Somehow, I also got some new listeners last week, which I'm very thankful for, of course. If you're new here, I'm very thankful that you're here. But I wasn't expecting it, and I especially wasn't expecting it on a week where I kind of crapped the bed. I had a rough week, and I let that get the best of me. But this week, and if you're also new here, the sound that you're hearing is planes flying overhead. I live directly under a flight path, so let's just hold. Okay, we should be good for about 8 minutes. So I like that something happens in this chapter. I like that there is a plan enacted, kind of a frazzled, last-minute, put-together plan, but a plan nonetheless. I like that Elliot comes back. He's not a one-off character that just kind of appears and then disappears to answer a question. I like that in this chapter, Elliot is kind of good and bad at the same time. He kind of recaptures Anaxos into the others' group, but he also gives the boat to Barrett and says, you can leave. And it makes him a little bit more complex and will probably make him a character that we're a little more invested in the future. What else do I like? I didn't prepare this part of it. I never do. I just kind of go through it and decide what I do and don't like. I do like the way that Barrett is a little bit selfish here. When he gets to see the boat, he just rushes into the water. He doesn't wait for Anaxos. He doesn't explain to Anaxos what an engine is. He's just kind of focused on, I'm getting home. I'm going to go home. And that's something that we haven't really seen from him, and something that I think his friends have been waiting for him to kind of realize, is that he needs to go home and that he can't just focus on this romantic interest that he has in Anaxos. He has to focus on survival. And this is his way to survive. Some things that I think I could work on, as always, repeating words. I do better and better every chapter, but I still repeat words. And part of that is probably because when I write, I've taken to drinking wine while I write. So that probably doesn't help. and it's just kind of, I'm getting better at it, but I'm also still just kind of struggling. Struggling to be inspired and keep myself on the right track to write, you know. It's hard to write when you are just so tired and so tired of everything going on around you. But I do like this chapter. I think it's a good chapter. I think that it furthers the plot. It's getting us towards some sort of resolution. And I'm, like I told you last week, I'm practicing writing in this kind of serialized fiction style in which they're shorter chapters, but they always end on a cliffhanger. And I know that that's not realistic for the written novel that you're going to buy off of a shelf at a store. But I do feel like it is kind of good. Maybe not the shortest chapters, maybe longer chapters, but always ending in a cliffhanger is good in the podcasting format, don't you think? I mean, you guys know. You can let me know however you want. But that's just kind of what I think, is that ending the chapters on a cliffhanger is interesting, is a good way to go about it. That's kind of what I liked and didn't like about this chapter. Is there anything else? I would love to recommend something to you, though. And this is what I want to recommend to you this week. Go and watch season 4 of the Boulay Brothers Dracula. Just go watch it. It's on Shudder. Oh, I said we would have 8 minutes between plane flight pass, but I forgot that it's Christmas time, so they're coming in every couple minutes. We can just talk through it. Go and watch the Boulay Brothers Dracula show. It is so good. It's so good. It's mostly over now. There's one episode left as I'm recording this. I just watched the penultimate episode. It's really good. If you have watched it, or if you're going to watch it, and you want to know whose team I'm on, I'm Team Sigourney, definitely. Second place, I am Team Dolly. Third place, Team Saint, and last place, Teratoma. I like all of them, but I love Sigourney. I just love Sigourney, and Dolly's very sexy. And Saint is consistent. Is consistent. I can say that Saint is very consistent. And I can say that Hoso, Teratoma, is very interesting. Their drag is very interesting. So I would recommend to you this week to go watch Dragula. If you don't want to watch that, here's what else I've been watching. I've been rewatching Desperate Housewives for the 15th time. That's been really fun for me. If you're a YouTube person, if you watch TV on YouTube like I do, you can also watch... I've been watching this guy exploring with Josh, and I'm going to say this in a nice way. I watch it for the content of it, not so much the personality, and that's okay, because maybe people that listen to this podcast don't listen to it for my personality because they don't care, and that's fine. Maybe they just listen to it for the story. That would actually be a compliment, kind of. Yeah, kind of. But that's kind of what I've been doing with my week. I've been trying to write. I've been trying to focus on that. Work has become a nightmare. I just found out that there's going to be even more work to be done that I wasn't planning on. But I'm here. And I'll be here next week. And I'm planning on being here every week after that with new episodes of the podcast of The Four Rejects. If you want to reach out to me, you can reach out to me at fourrejects@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter or tweet me at the floor. Well, what is it? It's just @FloorRejects on Twitter, on Gmail, just fourrejects@gmail.com. You can reach out to me there. If you're listening and you're new here, or if you're, you know, you've been around for a while, if you're one of my very loyal listeners who I love and appreciate, if you wouldn't mind just giving me a rating on the old iTunes store, I would love that. I would really appreciate it. Let me get close to the mic. I would really appreciate it if it was 5 stars, because I've only got like 2 ratings right now, and one of them is a 4-star, and it's a very interesting rating. I would recommend you go read it. The person listened to 1 episode, it looks like, and their critique was not about the podcast itself, but the content of the story. It's just very interesting. But if you could, that would be, I would really appreciate that. Like, that would really, I was really encouraged to see that there were more people listening, and it seemed like more people were kind of consistently listening to several episodes and kind of getting the story. And that was really nice to see. So I would love it if you would leave me a rating or something like that, but it sounds like my heater's kicking back on because it's cold. So I'll talk to you next week. This has been your friendly neighborhood author, Jonathan, with another episode of The Isle of Artemisia for the Floor Rejects podcast. Now I'm going to go and watch Desperate Housewives. Bye.